Hey, Chuck here on location, bringing you the weather and traffic news for WRRI. That's right, weather today is going to be rainy. It's still hot in Shimmersand, the Droughtlands, but not too surprising, still raining there. It's raining everywhere. It's even raining in some of the buildings here in Meridian. Not because they have bad roofs, just because it's magic, and that's how it works. All right, back on to traffic. Well, traffic, you're going to have trouble getting in and out today if you're a low-level player trunk coming through Free March. That's right, lots of water rifts and death rifts. Not to mention all the footholds running traffic back and forth across the roads. Probably best to get your cup of coffee and Soul Recall in this morning. And that's the weather and news, brought to you by our sponsors, Riff Runners, where if you can't get it done, this guy probably can't either. All right, now back to the music. Here's the top hit, Manners and Awesomeness, brought to you by Riff Runners.
Welcome and thank you for tuning in to the most entertaining and informative Riff podcast available on the internet today. Hosted by a man with barely more talent than a Chinese gold farmer with the loose grasp of the English language. So now prepare yourself for the most entertaining podcast ever known to mankind or any other species that roam this universe. Riff Runners.
You know, I hit start record, but I was going to tell you, too, we got a new intro song. I picked Shipping from Boston. It's good, though. The intro is really good.
It sounded like pirates. It's a pirate intro.
Shipping what from Boston?
Shipping up to Boston from Dropkick.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it's a good song. All right, well, welcome to Riff Runners. And that's the part where we talk over music. So, there it is. And I am CB, or formerly Lyft, or Chuck. We'll go with Chuck, or CB, or, you know, whatever. Just don't call me your mama. And with me today, as always, or just sometimes, is Karis.
Karis or Sue.
And we have a special guest who may or may not speak on interim. The ever witty, the ever dry, is Dre.
Dre. What's up?
Sorry, formerly
yes,
Dre.
That's all I'm going to say the whole show.
That's awesome. That's charisma right there. Synergy. All right, so what are we talking about this week? We're going to talk about personal restraint and how you can ruin morale of a group or a raid by really overexpressing yourself or oversharing. We're also going to talk about the synergy crystals, that little slot in your box that you haven't had anything to put in. It's probably driving you crazy, but you know, we've got information from Rift Junkies. And also, we're going to talk about an event that didn't happen on our server, but I was pretty amused by it. And we're going to talk about how that ties into Treon. Is one of those companies that really goes the extra step to help people do silly things, you know, for whatever reason. But there was a wedding, so we're going to talk about the wedding. All right, but first we're going to talk about what we're raiding. And our raid right now is I'm not going to say we're stuck, but we are at Greenscale.
Yes. And the dragon.
That's right, the dragon. Every time we get in there, someone always says, so are we calling it here, or are we gonna go try out Greenscale? And I always say the same thing. I always say, you know what? I made it all the way here. That dragon's going to have to toss me out himself. Has to toss me out. That's amazing.
That was wonderful.
He's going to have to toss me out of here himself, because I'm going over there. He can throw me the fuck out on his own. And he does. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I stand up. I was like, is that all you got? And he's like, nope. And then he throws me out again. So then I go home. But we do very well on him. We get a little bit more coordinated. I think I'm willing to say we beat him very shortly.
I think so.
I'm amped about that. This is the only thing I guess I'll force you to talk about, since you're the raid leader. How you feel about Greenscale? You liking it?
The zone or the actual Greenscale himself?
Well, let's talk about the zone. Yeah, just overall, how do you feel about it and the whole thing?
I think we're doing pretty good as a guild. We've been raiding about 6 weeks, and we're at the point where, in essentially about 2 hours, we cleared the first 4 bosses. I think that in the next week or two, we should be able to clear the whole zone in less than 3 hours. So I think we're doing just fine.
Yeah, I'm happy with it.
Me
I'm
too.
Yeah, Karis heals like a pro. And then she's like, oh my god, I can't keep up with you guys' healing parts. And I'm like, well, you only got to heal one guy. I couldn't heal that guy for that much. You're doing great. it's crazy. And that's a heal. There are a couple of really heal-intensive fights in there. So I was a little blown away. Like, at one point during Prince, we have 5 healers. And that's like, you know, a quarter of the raid. Anything? No? Okay.
Crickets.
All right. So, all right, we're doing that. We're in River Souls. We killed a foci, which was oddly funny to me that it was harder to do than Warmaster. Warmaster was...
I don't know.
It's just, don't heal him. We can beat Warmaster. And the foci was like, stand here, run there, blow these guys up, go back, kill the little thing, now kill the big thing, they're back, blow them up, go back. It's a lot of little stuff, wasn't really complicated, but it was way harder and more complex than Galanir, I think, in my opinion. Anybody else having a differing opinion?
I'm pretty sure I told you I was just going to say my name, right?
Oh, yeah, which was difficulty on Foci Go? No, I'm kidding. No, so that's where we are. I'm really happy with it. I like rating. I really didn't like rating in other games that I played because I'm tired of giving them free promos by talking about their names. But yeah, other games I played, I really wasn't big on rating as much as I am here. I really enjoy it here. And it's not easy mode. It's you know, it's a little complicated. It's not like, hey, you stand here, the tank faces him away, we blow him up. Yay!
No. It's more involved. I like that.
A lot more. Yeah, so I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. Well, all right, so let's move on. We're talking about personal responsibility. Now, we've had personal responsibility on the show. We've had quite a few shows where I talk about manners and awesomeness. You guys know how I feel about that. Manners and fucking awesomeness. It's that simple. And I always go to the example of power leveling. You can be the guy that can carry four other dudes through an entire dungeon, and they still won't want to go with you if you're an asshole. Okay, well, there's another side of that, whereas, you know, it's easy to acknowledge when other people are wrong or difficult to admit when you're the problem. There's another side of that coin. Sometimes when people make mistakes, only one person in a position of authority needs to say something, and it has to be constructive. If you vent your frustration, you're going to make things worse because, first, you know, I kind of feel like you're going to kick the legs out from under it, and suddenly you're going to have a low morale problem. Low morale is, and this is going to sound dumb or cliche, but I'm going to stick with it.
Low morale is the worst debuff you can give a group of people.
Because suddenly they're unable to do a damn thing, and they're always second-guessing everything they do, and it slows your raid or group down.
I'd have to agree there. Because people get mad. They're like, oh my god, I can't believe he just said that. And then
Absolutely.
You're kind of focused on that versus what you're supposed to be doing. And then you're like, oh, I got to talk to that person.
Yeah, because then, now you've opened the door, and you've said something, and now two things kind of happen here with the people that, well, a few things. We'll go through a quick list. One, people like me don't feel the need to join you and berate someone, but I do feel a strong urge to tell you to shut the fuck up. And I don't know how many other people got that urge, but when it happens, I do. I'm like, Jesus Christ, shut the fuck up. You're just ruining this for everyone. And he knows he made a mistake. He's going to fix it. Shut the fuck up. So that is bad, too. Because now I am participating in the chaos. And I think it's hard for people to understand that, you know, I don't know, the hero mentality. You can't run in and tell somebody to shut the fuck up and now you're the hero. It's not the way it functions.
It would be funny, though.
It would.
I'd have died. I'd be like, oh my god, that's awesome.
You're
my hero.
No, how it really runs is people are going to hate on stupid things. People are going to get mad about stupid things. They're going to get really angry. And what separates good players from shitty players is their need to propagate that in a verbal format. To be like, I am angry, and I will now have you acknowledge my anger. That's the point where you need personal restraint. Because whether the other guy is wrong or not, your need to berate him publicly is going to be a problem. Now, there's an alternative to that, and that is, and I don't want to be confused, if you're running a raid and someone is continuously screwing up, sometimes they have to be called out because they're you know, in their own heads going, oh, it's not me, it must be this, or it must be that. And given, people can have computer problems, but sometimes it's not the computer problem. And oversharing becomes another morale breaker. Like,
well, I was out for a walk Tuesday, and I got a bad sunburn. And then you end with, so, now my keys shake when I touch them.
And I have trouble running a straight line. And I didn't need the 15-minute conversation to get from your sunburn to your wobbly key. You could have just said, okay, I'm having a problem with my keyboard, and I, A, step out, or B, go ahead and just, you know, fix your problems so that you're not going to continue to ruin the raid. But as long as it's brought up, you don't need to overstate what your condition is. Just, you know, go from where you are, continue to fix the problem, make the adjustments, or you know, in my case, none of this happened to me. I didn't overshare, but this happened to me. I stopped raiding because I couldn't function in Jolin. And someone brought it up to me recently, which is why it's fresh on my mind. But I would immediately be like, I can't see any of the effect, and I don't know what's going on. And now it's like I'm running in a strobe light, and I can't see anything going on, then I'm dead.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I did the right thing. I was like, okay, I am a liability. And that's the thing. That's personal responsibility. I am a liability. Personal restraint is when this person later told me that I was irritating them because I was making excuses, whether they were true or not. Personal restraint was I didn't tell him to shove his head in his ass and go fuck himself, because that doesn't help. That doesn't help anyone. I know you were upset. That's why I left, because I was a liability to the group. That's why I did the, you know, and this is the thing. This is a quote from a movie, but do the right thing. It's a Spike Lee movie. You should look it up. But it's you do the right thing. You make the hard choices, and sometimes you gotta sit something out because you can't function. It's not rocket science or rocket surgery, as someone said to me the other day, because surgery on rockets is really complicated.
I bet.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, you know what? You got anything you want to say on this, Karis? Because you're very vocal when this happened to us recently, and I wanted to hear your take on it.
No, you pretty much covered it. It just, the whole morale thing, I hate that, because you're here to have fun, there's 20 other people, you know, and then one person can say something stupid, and then, you know, you focus on it, and you want to get past it. So then what do? Do you throw a joke down to cover up for that guy? Send him a tell him to shut up?
Yeah, well,
is there a way to recover from that? What would you do?
Exactly, and a lot of times now, I diffuse stuff, I'm known for diffusing stuff, trying to be funny.
Diffuser.
Lately, I keep my mouth shut because I am irritated or angry, and I'm like, okay, I need to backpedal before I start googling your address. So, I see how things can get frustrating, but I make the personal choice that, or first off, you know, this is not a well-known fact, I'm going to say this on the show, I have an anger problem. And so,
what?
Yeah,
never.
It's crazy. I know, right?
No way.
And I have a foul mouth too. That's shocking,
no.
You know.
Oh my gosh.
But I can acknowledge that I have an anger problem, and sometimes the shit that jumps to my head is not exactly what needs to come out of my mouth. Now, diffusing those situations, you know, sometimes. But there are people that are just not funny. And I started finding that people took my attempts to diffuse tense situations with humor as an open door to always have something to say. There's a guy in the guild that tonight I made a joke about, and I was really amused, but Drake was walking us through some steps and then said something, and the guy repeated exactly what Drake said and then said, yeah, that's how you do it. And, like, it wasn't like, and kill the frogs with the hammer. Yeah, kill the frogs with the hammer, that's how you do it. It was like, you kill the frogs with the hammer, you run through the fire, you circle the tree, you come back, you dance a little jig, you do a backflip, and the guy goes, you kill the frogs with the hammer, you circle the tree, you do a little backflip. He just word for word repeated what he said as if it was suddenly his idea. And I always say how much it irritates me. The guy just has no reason to talk, but he talks. And that's one of those things, personal restraint. He feels this urge, this overwhelming urge to contribute to this conversation.
And that's what I mean. There's some people, they really, really do mean well. And that's all it is. They're just trying to help out. But you get a lot of that as well.
Exactly.
So see, Dre handles that pretty well, too. I mean, if anything gets out of hand, he jumps in there and says something.
His something is as follows. I'm glad he's here, so he can try and deny this if he wants.
Oh, yeah.
His something is as follows. We'll call him Mr. Mister, I got it. And then, that's it, right?
It's like, okay, on this one, I'll be calling the AOEs. AOE, AOE.
AOE!
AOE, AOE, AOE. Four people say it. Guys, I got this. It's not even when I'm doing it. Like, not, if I miss one or something, it's not even like I'm missing them. It's an echo every time. It's like, I call it, they call it. I call it, they call it. I call it, they call it. I'm like, dude, shut up.
Personally, again,
I wish you'd say shut up.
But
you're like, I got it.
Right? You're like, you really wish they just, you don't want to hurt morale, and you really just want them to understand they don't need to talk. You're doing it. You got it. Okay.
Yep.
My favorite one to date, though, was the same person repeated someone's name 4 times, and it was for the debuff to explode. And I immediately keyed up, because I'm in mumble when we raid. So I'm in mumble talking, and I listen through vent. If I need to key up in vent, I will. But in mumble, I keyed up, and about the third time he said it, I heard Dre key up, and then he got the fourth one out as Dre was saying, okay, I'll call the names, I got it, thank you, I've got it. He's very, treated him like a lost child. He was like, okay. I immediately keyed up and go, because if she hadn't heard you by the third time, it was too late, son, we were dead. And immediately, upon Drake releasing his key, the guy says a fifth one. Like, run. Yeah, get out, such and such, get out, such and such, get out. No, I got it. I got it. I call the name. Such and such, yeah. Get out.
I mean, sometimes, like, if I'm a little late on one, or my favorite part of this is when I'm the one with the debuff, or I'm the one that needs to do something. It's like, I'm the one calling them. I've been calling them every time. I don't need to announce and vent that I'm going to do something. You know? And it's like, are you kidding me?
I have now got the debuff. And I'm going to run outside, where I'm going to eat 2 Doritos and run back in. I'm going to chew each Dorito 7 times and swallow in increments, because Doritos are too big for me to swallow at once.
Hey, Dre, get out.
I don't know. But that's it. Personal restraint. People really need to, I know people want to contribute and be a part of something, but unless you have an assigned job, or you want to establish beforehand, this is what I am doing during this encounter, then, you know, just stand back and do your assigned task and work from there. If you don't know what your assigned task is before the raid starts, almost every raid I've been to hits this thing called a ready check.
Mm-hmm.
Don't click yes unless you can key up and say, by the way, what is my job? And that's not a fool's errand. I do that all the time. If I switch roles, I double. Drake is our raid leader, I will say. So I'm tonight. So I am clawing for this, and he says yes, and I said okay, I'd already switched, and we got another Archon because I wanted to try out a new DPS spec tonight, and we couldn't because we didn't have an Archon. I Archoned, new guy came in, I clarified, so I can switch to DPS. Yes, it's very simple. It doesn't make you sound like a moron, and that's personal responsibility. And personal restraint is when the guy has the debuff, and I hear blind bombs. I hear somebody go blind bomb. I don't feel the need to be like, blind bombs, turn around, because it is already established in our little hierarchy that that's not my job. So, personal restraint, I don't need to contribute there. If somebody screws up, I don't feel the need to yell into the microphone, you screwed up. That's not my job.
Plus, it's too late, you know? By the time you're the third person saying it, it's too late anyway.
Yeah.
It's like, the whole entire point of calling it in the first place is for that one or two, you know, last guy, that the last person who's just spacing out or something, like focusing on the rotation or something, the voice call is for that guy. You know, it's not for everybody. It's like you're calling the AOE in vent because 19 out of 20 people have already jousted and gotten out. It's for that last straggler to try and save his life. You know, nobody should be relying on the voice calls anyway because it's a little slow. It's not the best time. It's already, you know, in order for me to call it, there's something on the screen that's already happening to indicate that it's coming. And then I key up and say it. It's, you know, most people don't even need that. It's for one person. And so by the time the third person is keyed up in a row to say it, it's way too late. Whoever, you know, that it would help is already dead.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, on that note, there's another phenomenon I like where people want to announce other people are dead, which stopped pretty quickly because then we couldn't call out the resident. You know, this takes me back to, I went on a raid and I stood by this for the longest time. That before we did Green Scales, I wanted to get experience in there, and I went with this guild, and the guild was just constant chaos. And I don't know if I've ever said this on the show before. I know I told you guys about it, but the one part that stood out the most was there was a loud, angry German woman, and she had a really heavy accent, and she sounded very masculine, so much so that Lithis, who was with us, did not know it was a woman. And she was shouting repeatedly,
"Fairy barrage! Kill the fairy! Smash the fairies! The fairy barrage!"
Over and over again. In that kind of intense, like, ah, scream at the top of my lungs. And it was chaotic. Like, they could not down Duke. And I, at the time, had attributed to them and to y'all that I thought the problem was there were way too... You know, somebody corrected me over this once, but we're in one dungeon with one set of mechanics, and there were too many cooks in the kitchen. Okay? But I stand by, there are too many cooks, or too many chiefs and not enough kitchens. Everybody's trying to run this particular dungeon their way. Not really run the people, they just want the mechanics to be announced in their way and done a certain way. So there were like three overlapping opinions about what we should be doing. Later, instead of trying each one individually, and they had no success because they were doing them all at once, we did them individually and found one that worked within the first 2 weeks. They did Duke for the whole month. They were still doing Duke after we beat them, if you recall.
Oh, wow.
And they were having trouble getting him. And same thing with Jolin. We got stuck on Jolin. We tried a couple things. We cycled through different things, a couple different techniques, and we found one that worked. And there wasn't five people yelling things constantly over each other. So, again, I stand by that. Personal restraint. There's no reason to help everyone announce everything.
Well, that's also the responsibility of the raid leader, too. I mean, if you set a precedence of, okay, guys, you know, don't flood vent. Once it got crazy, you have to, like, stop that right away so they know not to do that anymore. I mean, that's just not acceptable.
That's what I was going to say, was that I don't have any raid leader experience prior to Rift. I have never led raids in any other games that I've been in, but I've been in, you know, several different guilds and have followed quite a few different raid leaders around. And have some leadership experience in real life, which has helped. And the biggest factor with that is that, I mean, I guess I'm doing it because people are following my directions, but people need to think
you.
Yeah, they have to, well, fear, respect, whatever, they have to listen. You know, you have to have 19 people that want to do what you say sometimes. Because if, you know, if they... You know, that angry German woman is keying up and yelling and vent. It's like, if they don't want to do what she's saying, then she's not helping. So she needs to shut up. You know, and so, in a situation like that, it doesn't really matter what the directions are. You just need one set. Because if you have 20 people trying to follow five different sets and nobody's really telling who, you know, which ones to follow which directions, then you're not really going to make much progress.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's I guess, my point the whole time is you need one voice, and if you don't have one voice, you're just dragging your ass.
Yeah.
So.
And that's up to the raiders. It's not, I mean, the things that I tell people to do, it's not like I invent these things in my head. It's like, you know, I do some research. It's not like we're, you know, a world first guild trying to kill these things first. You know, I do read on forums and things like that, some of the strats, and I talk to other people in the guild. I don't like to copy strats. I don't think that's effective. You know, even if it could be, I don't think it's the best way. You know, and so I like to discuss it with some people that I feel are helpful to me, and then I come up with a plan based on what people say and what I've learned and stuff like that. And then if it doesn't work, I'd ask Invent during raids, you know, does anybody have any ideas? You know, we need to work on this. You know, but if I've decided on a course of action, that's what we're doing. And I'm not tolerant of people keying up Invent and being like, you know, this is how we need to do it, mid-pull or something.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's just horrible.
It's like, wait for the wipe and then we'll talk about it.
And, you know, that's another thing. Experience is the best teacher. Like, tonight when we took a run, we took a serious run at Greenscales with the understanding we were not running at him to beat him. We were running at him to get a better look at the mechanics with hands-on experience. Because experience is the best teacher. And instead of explaining these 20 people, you know, well, 19 people, what is going to happen, they all got to see it firsthand, and then most likely they'll be the same 19 people that saw it with you firsthand when you go back. So you won't have to explain that phase. You'll be like, okay, you guys remember what happened last time? This is what we're going to do a little bit different. We're going to do this. And then you don't have to explain why you're doing it. They saw it firsthand. It's a good teaching tool. Especially you got 10 minutes to do something. You know, that's the best way to do it. Let's go practice.
I think we're a little off topic, but the deal with that is you can't describe 10 mechanics that are going to happen over a 10-minute period and expect people who have never seen them, the fight before, to remember what the hell is going on 7.5 minutes from now after they've been trying to stay alive through 4 phases of a fight. You know, they're not going to remember what's in phase 4 by that point, so there's no point in even talking about it until you've tried it.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just get some pulls in and work on the hard part that you know, that wall that you hit in an encounter where it gets difficult. Then you work on that, and then you give it another pull, and you progress further, and then you work on that, and then you kill it, you know? There's no need to be screaming invent mid-pull trying to explain new things or something.
Absolutely. Well, you know what, that's I'm going to segue with this, but there's something else we're going to talk about on the show, but I kind of wanted to mention, like, and, you know, as hard as these are, I still think, and I'm hearing everywhere, Greenscale is the hardest boss of all the raids. And if you come down through it, you know, the trash in River of Souls is really just the hardest part of River of Souls. The rest of the mechanics are fairly standard from what, you know, I read and I hear and I see these raiders and then when they raid them. Greenscales himself is the hardest raid boss. But that brings me to they decided to step it up in a big fashion. Hammernell's going to have 3 wings and there are going to be 10 bosses inside of Hammernell. And we're going to segue because we're going to talk about the synergy crystals, but I told Drake, well, I am really amped for a chance to get in there and try that out. I have no intention of winning, but I am definitely going for the ride because I want to get a feel for that place up front, you know, and I see a lot of people that don't go with that mindset and run into to win. And not accept that this could be a complete loss because we have no knowledge of this. And then they're dissuaded. Like, for a long time, I heard we can't do River of Souls because of this reason. And these guys can't do River of Souls because of that reason. And they over there can't do River of Souls because it's bad or it's too hard or the bosses, you know. What it turned out to be was the trash in River of Souls is the most difficult thing about it. And every boss is a gear check, period. So, the leeway is less. But it's difficulty if you were doing, say, Greenscale's the level it's supposed to be set at, where it's a raid and everybody has raid gear and they're all ready to go. That same amount of gear could take you into River of Souls and do a significant amount. And easily do Galanir and the Foci, at least, just with my experience. And I saw Drake key up, but I didn't know if you wanted to say something there.
No, not really. I was going to agree with you.
Okay, well, Hammernell is one of those things where it's not going to be that way. It is going to be extremely more difficult. It's going to be a category above these, markedly so. And going in there, like, for instance, on my end, I have to have 300 focus if I want to hit anything. Now, I would say, oh, I could get damn close. No. I am going to make sure I have 300 focus when I walk in there because damn close isn't going to cut it. You need to walk in there with 300 focus knowing I am probably going to get my ass kicked and this isn't going to work out. But I'm in here because I want to see how this stuff functions. If we kill stuff, great. If we don't, my feelings aren't hurt. But that's, I think, the bigger thing of learning is raids need to work that way. Especially when, let's segue into this. That when this comes out, they're going to release 2 new things. One of them is going to be armor sets. Armor sets are going to be a big deal. And there are sets of armor where you can get 2 to 4 pieces, and if they're all the same set, you know, like the, I think the cleric's one is called Asphodels? Is that what it is? Asphodels? I don't know. I don't know. Asphodels. Anyway, so Asphodels armor, gives you a set bonus. And how that works is, if you think about it, that's not really that great because you have all these different souls and soul combinations, so you really need it to function for what you're focusing on. So what they've released is, now everybody has this little slot that they ask a lot of questions about, synergy crystals. What the synergy crystals are going to do is give you a specific bonus. Karis wrote, Asphodels? Yes, Asphodels. Yes. Okay. So, the set's going to give you a crystal. The crystal will give you a specific bonus. So, you'll want a specific crystal you're looking for. There's a Shaman crystal, a Justicar crystal, a Druid crystal for the Asphodel set. And each one gives you a different bonus for having two pieces and then for having four pieces. And I think, personally, I think that's genius. Because then you can, as dumb as this is going to sound, you can specialize. Because really, they only drop off the bosses in Hammernail, and sure, you got 10 shots at getting one, but I have 8 souls, and if I need a couple different sets to alter... Okay, for instance, my Chloro set will be fine. I need one for either one of my Chloro spec, but my Archon spec and my DPS spec are going to need 2 separate crystals, which will mean the only thing, if I have that crystal, the most effective role I have at that point, and if I have, say, 2 pieces of that gear, is going to be my Chloro spec. So it's really going to turn... I mean, it's not my opinion. I really want to hear from Karis, at least, because I, you know, didn't promise to talk. But it really makes specialization a real thing in the game now, I think.
Go, Drake!
Oh, man. You were probably spacing out, weren't you?
Maybe. Tell me, buddy.
The idea of the synergy crystals works for me. I like set bonuses. I mean, I'm a former EQ2 raider, and yeah, the gear in there was big on set bonuses for, like, the last, I don't know, 3 expansions or something. But the set bonuses, the way they work with the crystals is you get the set bonus from the armor, but you can swap your crystal in and out and effectively change the bonus that you're getting, like you're talking about. I love the idea. I don't think that they're balanced as well as they need to be, because some of them are just quite clearly better. And I mean, just hands down better. Some of them I don't care to even bother looting. Like, I would just let them rot. They're not worth it. And so I think they need to look at that and kind of work on the balance a little bit. And I know they are. They've made some changes recently. It's all still on the public test shard, but the idea is great.
Yeah, I like it a lot too. And you know, that's I think what the biggest thing I like about this is that they listen to the player base. And so many changes are being made in the game, the patches and all of that, because player feedback is so important to them. Whereas, you know, I've played other games, a big one that I, again, will not mention because they don't need my free advertising, but they seem to listen to the players, but really it's all like where we're headed with this game. Treant kind of makes me feel like it's where, when they say we're headed, they mean all of us, not just them. And of course, you know, it's a business, that we pay to play, we pay for the game, but still, like, recently they cut the, it wasn't because sales were bad, they cut down, you know, the game to $10 because it's more appealing to the sender friends and, you know, get people to play. All of a sudden, people want to play the game. And then the people that are already playing the game are having their you know, gripes everything they love about the game gets better, everything about they hate about the game seems to get fixed. Which is not something I can say about every other game I've played. So I think the more appealing they make it, and the more they bring new players in, the better I think the game experience overall will be for everyone, because they care. I mean, like, I don't want to say they care, but they're definitely listening and making the appropriate changes. And these synergy crystals really show that.
Yeah, and the deal with, I mean, Hammernail, it's not like in the 3 months since the game has launched, it's not like they've had their dev team throwing this together to try and get it pushed out the door in 3 months. It's been in the pipeline longer than that. They've been working on all of this stuff for a lot longer. You know, they were talking about it at E3 months ago and already had in-game footage and stuff to show people, things like that. But, you know, having had it already in production before the game even launched, you know, they've allowed themselves to roll it out in this planned fashion through the first, you know, however, 3 to 6 months of the game. They're doing these big monthly updates with, you know, adding major things each time. But even though it's been in production, they've been taking that feedback and changing the way it works, because their vision of how it was going to go 6 months ago, before the game even launched, doesn't mesh with what the player base is actually using the game for at this point. And they're adapting, I think, quite well and making those changes as they work. And I think it's working out really well for them.
Right, and I can't disagree, because I normally get tired with the game, you know, within 3 months of me playing. And I've been playing this game for, you know, well above my normal stretch, but I am not even close to being bored with. Like, I started another character, and I found the stuff I'm doing with him more engaging, especially since there's a whole set of zones I skipped. Like, I leveled my guy in, I leveled Lyft in Iron Pine Peaks and Moonshade and Stillmore. This time I'm going to go from Droughtlands to Shimmersand. And I like that, the fact that even if I decided to do Stillmore again and the Iron Pine, like, the Ice Watch stuff got better, the dailies are a little bit more rewarding. So, like, there's a lot of benefit for me deciding that I want to go try old stuff with a third character that, you know, I had already done, because the game seems to be a living, breathing thing. And it doesn't seem that they're making these changes on the fly as, you know, knee-jerk reactions. They're balanced, informed changes that seem to only improve the game. I've yet to see a change where I'm like, geez, this just ruined the game. Like, everything seems to only move the game forward. You know, and if they think something doesn't work, they cut it off. You know, they yank it out and make it better and make sure it works before they put it back in. Guild Banks, for example. So, I don't know, I'm really happy with it. I'm going to use that to segue into how much they care to do our wrap-up. And I don't know if Karis has a surprise pop question, but we'll see. But the wrap-up this week is going to be, there was a world first, these two people got married. I'm not even going to attempt to... Well, they didn't get married, they got engaged. I'm not going to attempt to pronounce their name. However, it was such a neat thing to me, because I'm going to go ahead and break out my Supergirl mode here. I... fucking loved this wedding. Like, even my wife didn't care that much. My wife was like, oh yeah, that's something, they got married in a video game, huh? Yeah. And I was like, that's awesome, right? And she's like, oh yes, that's awesome, let's go get your medication, honey. I was like, okay. So but I was amped, and they got a little, you know, I linked to it on the blog, so you guys can check it out. But the wedding was really neat, because the biggest thing that impressed me about it was a guy at Treon went out of his way to make sure that a GM played a character on that day and did worldwide announcement. Also, what's funny to me is they're on a PvP server, and
yeah,
you occasionally see, like, this guy that's not only flagged but he's red, so you know he's in business. Like, wade into these guys real fast, and then slowly start backing up when he realizes there's too many of them. And it was funny to me, because, like, this, not funny, but fun, it was fun to me. This kind of stuff really is awesome. When, you know, and I've heard of, like, tragic things happening, like, people die, like, in the real world that have had a real influence over a particular server, and they die, and there's a big server-wide funeral. It's been done in a lot of games. This guy wanted to propose to his girlfriend. Treon was like, you know what, fuck it, we'll help. And it was like the fucking Trinitron at a baseball game, you know? Instead of putting it up where everybody could see, they went worldwide with these announcements, where the priest was reading all this stuff, and relaying all the answers, and it's just, it was engaging to see that level of, like, I don't know, public relations? I don't know what that would be. But really reacting to a very small thing, these two people and their guild got the entire server involved, and this giant, you know, money-making million-dollar enterprise was like, yeah, we'll send you a guy. Sure.
I thought it was really cute. Very sweet. I especially like that they had, I guess, a webcam up, and you saw him actually propose to her. So that was cute.
Yeah, I don't know if I clarified that. You know, now that I think about it, I don't know if I clarified that. He actually proposed, like, in real life, like, surprised her by proposing on the game, whereas, from what I read, she just thought they were doing some, like, in-game event thing that they were setting up to, like, get married on the game. He really, like, popped down on one knee and popped a ring open, and you could see the look on her face. She thinks he's messing with her, till he goes down on the knee and opens up the box. And all of a sudden, she's like, oh! And then, you know, she's like, yes, there's sound, it's kind of hard to hear, but it was touching. Not so much touching as I just thought it was fucking cool. And I was a little jealous. I wish I could go back 2 years and Riff was there and I could propose to my wife. Yeah. Be like, I love you. And she'd be like, is that webcam on? Because I swear to God, if you're streaming this on the internet, I'm going to punch you in the eye. I'd be like, no, baby, ain't no reason for all that violence. Hold on, I got to go do something, turn something off on my computer. And then, you know, but I was really impressed. I was not, I'm not going to say moved, but I thought it was awesome. What'd you think?
I already told you. I thought it was cute.
I was after Bastard Cake, but that's okay.
Oh, Bastard Cake. Go, bud.
Oh, great. Yeah. Yeah. Give me to provide something useful after calling me Bastard Cakes in the air again.
Oh, wait. You just did.
Nothing but love.
That's all good. All I wanted was confirmation, and now I have it. I'm CB, and I approve this message. All right, well, I think that's winding down to the end of the show. Is there a secret pop question this week?
Secret pop question for science. Actually, I do have one.
For science?
How big of a secret was it if you knew it was coming?
Because I don't know what the question is.
Oh, okay.
I asked you to do them now. I like the first one so much, I asked you to keep doing them.
Well, I don't know if it's a really good question, but it's curious. And okay, this is the question. It's about a guy playing a girl tune. Why would they do that? Because like me, I tried to play a guy tune. I just can't do that. I just could not get into the character at all. And like, I like Karis and Shyla and whatnot. And I make these characters, like one kind of looks like me and everything. Dark hair and everything. And it's fun. And then I see these guys running around playing these girl tunes and they're wearing their little outfits. And I hear the same thing. It's like textbook. Like everybody had a script. Whoa,
oh,
I don't...
Wait, I know it.
Oh, what is it? Tell me the line.
I don't want to run around for 8 hours staring at some dude's ass.
Exactly. It's like they handed a sheet of paper out and everybody knows this line. So is that true?
No.
Are you little light in the loafers?
No.
Why do you play a girl tune?
No.
Some guys don't play a girl tune.
No. It's not always true. It can be true.
Or are they playing that girl card? Oh, I'm really a girl. Give me all your loot.
I had a friend who didn't want me to tell people that he was a chick playing a tune.
See?
He wasn't a chick playing a tune. And I thought it was crazy until I realized everything he was telling me was true. He'd do dumb things like he'd write hee-hee, and dudes would flirt with him and hit on him, but he'd never take it. They tried to get him to take it to weird levels, and he's always like, sorry, I've got a boyfriend. He's giant and in the military, or some shit like that. But just pretending to be a chick that played, like, they would go help him do quests, they'd help him farm mats, they just do all kinds of dumb shit. Just
playing the girl card.
We moved to another video game years later. Years later, we played another one together. Same thing. And I was like, this is not possibly going to work again. And it's true. Dudes that play female characters have an easier time functioning in social settings. But then there's a separation of those dudes. Those dudes who are creepy about it and those dudes who are doing it because they just want to accomplish shit. And so for some people, there's no line there. It's just all creepy. I would have to say that if I could tell people I have tits and that would make them do things for me, I would have pictures of said tits. I would find ways to distribute my tits around the world. I'd be like the tit factory. I would just be pumping out tits all day long. So, I could see how that much influence over people is a plus, but
how would that even work? Because, I mean, there aren't so many girls that play. Well, like, you should not assume that that's really a girl.
Well, okay, now in Rift, I have trouble agreeing with that because there is an inordinate amount of chicks that we keep running into. And, I mean, just in our guild alone.
Just in our guild, yeah.
There are way more chicks than I'm used to running into than in any other MMO I've ever played.
Reborn Destiny is recruiting high DPS. we have lots of females in the guild already.
We have lots of real ladies that you could talk to.
Lovely ladies.
As long as you're really high DPS.
That's right.
Yes.
There will be a skill check. His name is Rampus.
Or maybe a bard.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so, so really, let me add this to, before I address, people who are really creepy, and they think, they have very high self-value when they play a video game and they're anonymous, because they feel like, hey, I play this game well, and that's what attracts chicks that play this game. So like, ooh, let me flex my level 50 at you, and show you my Mountaineer wear. Oh yeah, baby. I farmed all those Mountaineer plaques myself.
So it's not a visual
flex
thing.
No, it's not. I mean, some people it is. I mean, but then, really, you just told me you wanted to stare at a cartoon's ass for... I mean, really, that's that's no better than, you know, hey, I'd rather stare at some hot cartoon chick's ass for 5 hours than some cartoon dude. No, I'm pretty much just on the page. They're all cartoons. Pretty much.
Do you have any girl tunes? Dre, I know you have some, don't you?
I have 2 male level 50s, and I have 2 female crafting bots.
Oh, I see how it is.
Alts, I mean. Alts. Crafting alts.
Get in the
kitchen. Make that clear. Don't ban me.
So let me ask you, well, let me ask Drake. Are they female characters, or are they characters that just happen to be female?
I have never pretended to be a female on the internet.
And you never stare at them because it's more comforting to see that cartoon chick's ass, right?
I would actually prefer if the female models in Rift had a little more coverage, actually.
There you go.
Wow.
All right. So there we go. So yeah, that's what it is. It's a gamut of things, but they feel like the most comfortable answer is the one where they stare at a chick's ass, because that makes us men.
That's
and
right.
We are now manly because of the script we followed.
That's exactly
handed
right.
to us by the great Chuck Norris. So now we're men too, with beards. Beards that grow down our neck and our throat. We are all manly throat beards. So
well, there you go. There you go, that's for science.
For science. Alright, that's it. That's Riff Runners. I got nothing left. Anybody else got anything?
Nope.
Alright. Well, I'm Chuck, that's Karis. That was Bastard Cake, Drake, and this is Riff Runner. We are the Defiant. Bastard Cakes one more time.
Fucking MC name. I don't need a goddamn MC name. I got nothing to hide. You got something to say?
George Watsky doesn't need a fucking MC name.
Fucking MC name. I don't need a goddamn MC name. I got nothing to hide. You got something to say?
George Watsky doesn't need a fucking MC name.
What's in the name, man? Flow comes first. I'm never gonna curse that I get the worst when I roam the earth. It's a ridiculous coincidence that shows my worth. You know my parents wouldn't chose my MC name at birth. I don't need a mask to cover.